B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Time on a Friday, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Zoe's on a break, I think, Hardy.
Either that or he's got the T-bone syndrome. He's shrinking.
He hasn't been able to get his normal workouts in during the pandemic. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. It's the noontime hour on a Friday. Getting you ready for the weekend. We get some calls on the line. Open phone lines. You want to grab one, do it.
Let's let Zoe talk to this first caller.
Let's go to Bobby, who's in Revere. Bobby, go ahead. All you.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Bobby.
I was calling in about the racism in Boston that you were speaking about earlier.
Yes. Sure.
And anyone who gets offended has to be very young and not smart enough to know it doesn't refer to him. Or they should get the autobiography of Thomas Yawkey, one of the biggest racist people ever. Now, for Zoe himself, when he went out with his wife 2 weeks ago and stuffed his olives with blue cheese and took that other thing out, he didn't know what it was.
Pimento. I knew what a pimento is. Yeah, it's
and
disgusting.
And last but not least is the last caller who called our president a sociopath, where he was in his car, he should continue driving out to Seattle and spend a month.
All right, Bobby.
Good call.
covered three various topics there all in 1 minute, and he did it on a good phone.
Racism, pimento, Seattle.
Seattle, right.
I'll hang up and listen to you wonder at how I was able to connect the three in 45 seconds.
Did he do it?
He did.
He did it? He was to the point.
he
was concise, and he used a good phone.
Hardy, you sure that wasn't your kid's
Thanks,
old soccer
Bobby.
Coach? Are you sure? You're playing
it may have
the,
been.
Mid-
it may
you're
have
the
been.
Midfielder. Move up. Stop crying.
It may have been. May have been the soccer coach.
Jesus.
That's a guy who gets things done.
He ain't got time to go to store and just, you know, buy invitations and spend money. You know what? You put on a paper and you run it off. That's how you do invites. Pool party at my house.
I like how he held on to the pimento take for a couple of weeks, too. Like, you know what? That's not by itself worth calling about. I'll hold on to that for my next call.
But I'll remember.
He did.
Pimento, hashtag never forget.
Wait, you think the pimento is gross, Zoe?
I think it's disgusting. It's like has no taste. It's just texture. I don't know what I don't even know what that is.
It's a pepper, isn't it? Pimento pepper that they slice up?
I don't know. I guess so. I can't stand pimento.
Yeah, it's like a little piece of pepper that they put into the olive.
In a perfect world, you stuff it with gorgonzola, like the real good blue cheese, the sharp stuff. That's like, now you got a bite. Now you got a bite.
I would say most people don't eat their olives that way.
Right.
I would say most people consume the olives with a pimento in there.
I think if you were given a choice at an excellent steakhouse, you would go with the blue cheese stuffed olives and not the pimentos.
But you're talking about what? In a drink is what you're talking about?
You're
not talking about eating them.
I think a green olive is absolutely disgusting to eat on its own.
What? Now you've lost me. Now you've lost me.
Nope. Give me a can of black olives.
Get out of here.
When I was a kid, I put it on every finger at Thanksgiving. I'm like,
you know what it is?
You're not eating black olives.
You're not eating the right olives is what it comes down to.
You can't eat those jarred and canned ones like that sit on a shelf for months. No. You got to get real ones from Italy if you're going to do it right.
Those are
pretty good.
Nope.
I'm
going to give you a brand to try.
Charcuterie.
You want to go try.
Good charcuterie board.
I'm going to give you a brand. Okay. Mazzetta. Go get yourself some Mazzetta green olives, okay? Whatever you like. I don't know that they do. They don't do anything stuffed with cheese, I don't believe. But they do a garlic stuffed green olive.
Yeah.
Knock your socks off. So
have you ever done that? Have you ever done the pickled vegetables? Like green beans and that? Like the spicy green beans?
I have not.
Like spicy pickling sauce? Unbelievable. In a jar. Really good. Good snack.
Yep.
Good snack.
Get those colossal queen green olives. That's what you need. That's what you got to get, boss.
Right.
Let's go to Joe, who's in Holly. He's been hanging on. Thanks, Joe. What do you got?
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Joe.
Hello.
Hello.
Joe.
Okay, we're going to put Joe on hold. We'll try and get him to a better spot there. We'll go to Mary, who's in Sarasota. Mary.
Hi, guys. Love your show. Thanks for all you do. I just wanted to mention that, you know, I've loved the players on the first game and Roger Goodell to take a knee, but maybe rise up after that and change the symbol altogether. So to say, you know, we know what's going on and we're finally aware of it. So, you know, that's an idea. But I'd also like to say, Dr. Hardy, I need your help. Because if we go into a second wave and I have to live with a daughter with misophonia, one more minute, I am going to go out of my mind.
Okay.
Oh, so has she been diagnosed with it?
No. It's as they said, it's called misophonia. She has not been diagnosed, but she's told me that's what it is.
How old is your daughter?
She is 35.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the issue that goes on in my house on a daily basis, where we made the four of us just be sitting there enjoying a meal of food. And one person in particular, the one with the self-diagnosed misophonia, says, stop kicking. Like, and it's I don't know if it's me or the kids, but it's like, you may have just like a slight little, like with the foot on the rung of the chair or up against the cabinet at the counter. Stop it. Stop it.
Mary.
Stop it.
Like, Mary's got to give us an example of what her daughter has done.
Yeah.
I pump my left leg when I eat.
I get the stare. I get the eye roll. I've tried, you know, trying to find a cure. I've tried to start to drink.
So, Mary, no, but when I say example, what have you done?
Yeah.
What noise have you created that has set her off?
What sets her misophonia off? Yes.
Oh, she says, well, first of all, she says my voice is a little, I have some sort of back throat.
You have a gurgle.
Oh, God.
You've got a gurgle. You've got a gurgle in the back of your throat.
And I seem to chew, even though I chew with my mouth closed, very noisily.
Oh, my God. So for those who don't know, misophonia is a thing where people are set off by certain sounds. And the chewing, like, God forbid you eat a Tostito in the presence of my wife. She'll go through the roof. She just can't handle
exactly.
it. And I've told her many times, I'm like, you really need to get your own place. Yeah, I mean, we can stay married and we can do everything.
That's what you built that shed for.
I know, and I told her it.
What is she waiting on?
You got her a she shed. I mean, come on.
Well, it's a menstruation hut. But I told her you can just stay out there all the time. It doesn't have to be just for the 3 days a month. You can stay out there. Put your little magazines and a couple of candles out there. Make it really nice, right?
I tell you, I've been dealing with this since she was like 18. And as I said, I tried to cure it by drinking. But all I got was acid reflux.
Oh, my God. Oh, I hate favorite call. Favorite call of the year. Thank God. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mary. Oh, no.
This is one of the best caller segments we've had.
Seriously.
The cure is worse than the disease.
Yeah.
Right there. I start drinking, and now I've got acid reflux.
I threatened that cure with my wife, too. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I just need to get back on the sauce so I can handle living with you, not being able to handle living with all of us. You know, that's my cure.
Wow. Joe in Marblehead. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going? Just wanted to let you guys know that, you know, I've been working from home for the last few months. And you guys, you know, I throw on 98.5 at 6 in the morning and just go till about 4. And you guys have just been great. Like, between, like,
thank you.
Like the turtle to, like, Zolak's, like, you know, mulch to eating outside, like
true pain. You know what it is? It's
sex education in New York City.
Sex education was a big big help.
Joe, did you know what toss thing meant?
Did I what?
Do you know what? Never mind. But I mean, we talk about every day, Joe, small problems. We try to relate to the listener. You know?
No, you guys have been great. Like you're right. Consistently
like Joe.
Funny, you know
what?
Sports, and you guys
I go to gas station, Joe. Joe, I go to gas station for example. I'm buying the 87 because it's the cheapest. I don't care what it does to my engine. What do you buy?
Well, you know, I like to go where they pump it for me. So there's like a Spiro's.
Oh.
I live in Marblehead.
Oh. I live in Marblehead. Great answer.
I live in Marblehead.
Sorry. But you guys, you know, really, like, I've been listening and I laugh every day. And you guys, even like right now, like talk, you know, you guys are just really like a great show and you do a great job. So that's
thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Is that
very
all you
much.
Had? Just a compliment?
Joe. Huh?
That's it? You just called to compliment us. I like it.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, right. You guys are kicking ass. Like, you guys are just funny. Like, you guys are, like, you know, you kill the time. You aren't just, because sports is no sports. And you guys have been filling the time so much better than all the other shows. That's all. You know, it's been great. So just,
all right.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for the call.
It's new positioning statement for the show. Zolak and Bertrand. We kill the time.
I laugh my ass off so hard this morning on Channel 7 because you get so inundated with the news nowadays because, you know, it's covering everything that's been going on in the world and it's just in a circular spin. It's just one thing after another, 24/7. They did a special on this moose that was loose in Lowell.
Oh, did you see that thing?
Yeah. They got the video. That sucker's running down the street. He's got the long legs. And I'm laughing my ass. Then it goes in a pond. And they're like, well, we really can't get it because they're actually really good swimmers, these moose. You know? So,
you wouldn't think so with those skinny legs and that big upper body, you know?
Right. Right. Right.
But they're probably pretty buoyant. They're very buoyant, the moose.
You think they'd be able to tie it up and, like, cut the legs down, you know? Like, take his legs out.
It's a goofy ass looking animal.
Like, it's weird looking. It's the most gawk.
You see deer and you're like, oh, look at that. Look at, you know, deer. You know, you see ducks and you're like, oh, those are cute. And they're, you know, they're kind of graceful in their own way. Right. You look at a moose and you're like, what the hell's the matter with that
thing? Well, it's got that, like, Rocky Dennis joke. Like, boo! It's like it could be crossed between a donkey and a deer.
So you watch this on Channel 7. What were they calling it? Did they go with the obvious alliteration of moose on the loose?
Moose is on the loose, yes.
Super, I love Channel 7. I love it. It's a Bullwinkle breakout. You know, like, of course.
They had to
come up with the most absurd alliteration. Marshall Hook. I blame Marshall Hook.
They sent an entire news team up there. Probably sent the truck, three producers, a camera guy, and a reporter. I'm Shelly Moose Smith here live in Lowell. Channel 7 News. Yes.
Where's Kiki Wenzel? Where's Kiki? Chasing the moose up in Lowell. That's what's
who's
going
the guy,
on.
Who's the guy that's morphing into Lou Diamond
Phillips? Natalie Pozzo. I know all the Channel 7 people.
Oh, Yoshida. He's morphing
Michael
into Lou
Yoshida.
Diamond Phillips. He's morphing into La Bamba.
he hasn't got a haircut during this thing, has he?
Oh, no. And he's got the big pork chop sideburns working, so he really looks like Richie Valens. Yeah.
617-779-0985. And shout out to Joe Amorcito and Trey Dayer as well, the sports guys over there. We've got more on the Patriots. There was news this morning on the Patriots running back situation, which is the best in the league, according to Mike Tannenbaum. There's news there. Bad news, not good news. And also, you'll hear from Mark McGwire later this hour as we prepare for a big documentary coming up on Sunday night. Don't miss it. It's all on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Matey. Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nice outside.
Oh, good. Well, you can go out there in an hour and 38 minutes.
Yeah.
I just sent you a text, so you're in luck. Mazzetta does make a blue cheese olive for you, babe. You got it there. Way to go.
That looks good, Beetle.
Mmm. Oh, I want you to buy those and tell me how good that is.
See, right. You know, I've had these, too, that have been pre-made, and they sit there for a while. And, of course, you know, they preserve them, and it sits on a shelf for a while. But there are places that actually stuff them that day and give them to you, and those are the ones that are unbelievable. Because it doesn't have that syrupy, you know, stuff that it soaks in, and the oil, and then it oozes into the cheese, and it doesn't taste the same. I like the ones that are stuffed every day, hand-stuffed.
So, that's your olive update.
It looks
also
good,
an update. We listened to the unedited audio of Hardy saying he finds a certain thing distasteful.
What's that?
It's still edited. You can tell it cuts off
it's
before I finish the word. It is edited.
You meant to say something else, and you got a little duty in your throat or something.
Duty? I got duty in my throat.
Yeah, a little duty there, and you had to stop for a second. Yes. It's not edited. Can't play it on the air, but you said it, dude.
Yeah, what do you got there, Toss Boy?
You definitely
no,
said it.
No. It may not be a traditional edit where you're joining one thing with the other, but whoever edited it, they stopped short. So,
but T-Bone.
T-Bone wouldn't do that to
you. Yeah, are you kidding?
T-Bone would not do that
stop
to you.
Short.
Please. Get out of here.
That's my move.
Yeah, I know it's your move.
617-779-0985. Here's the latest on Sony Michel. He's going to need some rehab time. How much time? Unknown. Mike Reese with the report this morning. Sony Michel had foot surgery in May. The surgery was viewed more as maintenance-based to relieve discomfort. How Michel's rehab progresses will determine if he opens up training camp on PUP. Oh, great. Oh, awesome.
Like this could be a multitude of things. It could be turf toe. It could be Lisfranc. It could be, just the exterior. I'm looking at, like, the pinky, the second toe in from the outside. Those are the ones guys cut and plan off where I've been around it, where they usually have foot issues because you have a stress fracture to one of the outside bones of your foot. And I could see that they may have, I don't know this. I could just see where they may have looked on a X-ray, and you could see, yeah, maybe there's some little fissure cracks there.
What do you know? What do you know about this?
I don't know anything about this. I don't 100%. I don't know anything.
I don't trust you.
I'm just saying, when a guy has foot pain like that, and then you try and let. I think what
they're saying, foot,
Zoe's
saying toe. He knows something.
Yeah.
What they're trying, what they probably tried to do here, was say, okay, we took X-rays. It doesn't look like it's broken to us.
Okay,
but we could see just a slight, tiny little stress fracture starting there. So why don't we do this? Given the situation, let's rest. Let's rest and see if rest heals it. And maybe there's still discomfort there in the middle of May. And they said, well, let's go put a couple screws in there to tighten it up.
Hardy, does this all sound oddly specific to you?
Yes,
like it does to me.
Yes.
couple of screws to the outside toes.
I mean, I don't know anything.
And then he was told to rest until May, and then by May it didn't get better, so it was a maintenance
That's just
surgery.
Normal timing of it, because look at Sanu, too. Sanu had the ankle surgery. A
lot of details.
They tried to let that hand in.
And they're not going after Dalvin Cook, apparently.
Well, that was basically confirmed by Bill Belichick himself on a text earlier to Zoe.
Stop it.
Oh, sorry, Nick Caserio texted. My bad.
Stop.
Well, we know it was McDaniels. I was trying to avoid saying his name.
It's not McDaniels.
But there was a delay there. There was a delay. By the way, hello to everyone at Patriot Place and the Patriots organization.
Love Thanks you guys over there. Thanks for having us up.
We love the Patriots.
Yeah, appreciate you killing time with us.
Yeah,
we're big sports fans. It's awesome.
We like the Pats.
Yeah. So you like Patriots?
I love them.
Let's go Pats.
You fan?
Yeah.
You football fan?
I like football, man. I like the NFL. I love it.
I love going there. I love watching the games.
Let's go to line one because we like football, and that's Sully in Marshfield.
All right.
Sully, you like football?
Yeah.
A little bit. What's up, guys? What's up?
What's up? What's going on?
Hey, you guys are killing it. Keep it up, guys. Love listening to you. Hey, want to get your takes, though? Winovich, you putting three fingers in the dirt, you standing him up this year.
Oh, that's a football call right there.
Stand him up, baby, all day
three
long.
Three fingers like in the dirt, are we standing up Winovich in year two? What do we got, Zoe?
I want to see his eyes. I want to see him with that foot back. I want to see those long locks of hair blowing in the wind where you're the quarterback. You're looking down like, oh, this guy's a badass. Yeah, you keep him up. You keep him up. You have him move around. That's where you use him at his best. I just think you take that type of size guy and you put your hands down. That sort of limits what he can do, right? It's tough to drop from there. It's tough to move around to the inside. It's tough to run those loop around games where you have a tackle end game where one guy goes one way and you loop that guy around. You can't do that with your hand down. It's tough. And I think because he's undersized, you keep him up. You keep him upright. Let him see that he sees things better.
Where you like him, A-gap, B-gap, or you send it
up? Stop. If we're making an early list,
he's outside.
Come on, move him inside. Mix it up a little bit. Stand him up.
No.
Stand him up.
Get dirty. Yeah.
Snot blower.
If there's something to get excited about or be intrigued by, is how do the Patriots use some of these more athletic players, and how do they get creative defensively to make up for their loss of linebackers? Because they drafted sort of all these – they like these hybrid players, you know, and everyone will tell that's the way the league's going.
Yeah.
I just want to see how they sort of utilize it. How does this look? You know, can they get a little bit exotic this year, Zoe?
I think they can. Now, there's changes up front. That's the thing. But I think you're going to be more athletic at the positions,
yes,
right?
Yes, you are. Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't throw out running a 3-4 a little bit. But then again, who's the nose, you know?
There's two ways to get exotic. When you are so overloaded with talent that you've got all these.
Well, it's Phillips and Chung.
You've got all these options at your disposal, and it's like, man, we can really mix it up here and give them all kinds of different looks and do all this different stuff because we can handle it. Or you're like, you know what? We don't really have anyone. It was quite good enough to really be dedicated at one position.
Even Butler's like an outside guy.
You know, we should get a little exotic here to try some different things. I don't classify this year's Patriots defense as being either or. They're not so. They're certainly not hapless, but they're not as talented as they were personnel wise as they were last year. So I don't know if it lends itself to a lot of exotic schemes this year. Do you think? Unless I've just got the philosophy all wrong in terms of how you organize and game plan a defense.
No, I mean,
you can get exotic in the back end. You can disguise stuff. You can move guys around. You can fake blitz. You can run out. Or you can do what they did that Revis year started where they just brought people, man, from the secondary. And they said, we're going to hold our breath. We're going to go cover zero. No Daron Harmon back there. Let's go get people. I wonder if they're going to do that. That's where you could apply your pressure with less pressure from the front, more pressure from secondary pressure.
We've got a viewing, mandatory viewing coming up on Sunday night, and a reminder to be watching this on Sunday night because I think we'll be talking about it on Monday.
Right.
It's Long Gone Summer, documentary on the 98 baseball season and McGuire and Sosa. You will hear from Mark McGuire in his own words on why he belongs in the Hall of Fame, and you'll hear that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub. They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's, he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa will be the focus of a documentary airing on Sunday night on ESPN, Long Gone Summer. I've been talking about this. I'm very much looking forward to seeing it on Sunday night. Mark McGwire did an interview with, who is it again? Who was on the original interview, Jim? Mel Kiper?
So Mel Kiper and Dari Noka have an ESN, have a weekend show on ESPN Radio.
Okay.
And apparently they interviewed Mark McGwire. 2016.
They interviewed Mark McGwire 4 years ago, and it never made it to air for some reason. And so Buster Only broke this out as part of a podcast this week. Is that right?
Yes. Another thing that I listened to that you probably question why I listened to, but I listened to it.
At least I get that. Like Buster Only or, you know, any that I get. I wouldn't question that. That's just a sports podcast. So as part of that, this was included, an interview with McGwire from 2015 in which he talks about, you know, his career and things related to it, including one story about John Henry, which we will play for you right now, but also McGwire on why he belongs in the Hall of Fame. That in a moment. First, a story about John Henry.
I knew my mind was strong, but I put it to a test that season. And to understand that I had to play a game before the game with a BP, you know, where people, you'd have 20,000 people come to watch my batting practice. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I still remember when John Henry owned the Miami Marlins, there were, he got word that I wasn't going to take batting practice. I wanted to take a break. And I remember him coming down to the clubhouse and asking me personally to take batting practice.
Wow.
Because there was going to be 25,000 fans in the stands to watch me take batting practice. So to play a game before the game actually happened, You know, think about that. I mean, and you start putting these things together. To this day, I still don't think any athlete's ever gone through anything what I've gone through on a personal level, individual accomplishment ever in the history of sports.
I'd just like to say I can't wait for Adam Jones to hear this clip if he hasn't already. Because I can't wait for him to do his John Henry and reenact going down to the clubhouse. In fact, I'm giving him a show idea for tonight. John Henry reenacting him going to the clubhouse, yes, in Miami to ask, Big Mac, can you take BP? You know, I want to hear that from Jones tonight.
My friends want to see the ball exit the stadium, or the ballpark. Can you hit it far?
I have a request of you, kind sir.
That's new.
I won't take but a moment of your time.
This new female that I've taken quite a liking to, she's in town for the game. She wants to see you flex your Popeye forearms and hit the basket baseball.
And she digs the long ball.
She digs.
I have long balls.
She said she digs long ball.
My intention, my intentions to court her have been met with, shall we say, resistance.
The Jones Show has checked in.
What'd they say?
They're aware, and they're going to put it on the rundown for today.
Thank you very much, Jones Show.
It's Jones. Jones sitting at home like this.
Thank you, Jones and
Jeremy Arcan. Conley listening.
Thank you very much. Mm. Get it on the rundown.
What about the end of that clip? Nobody's ever done what he had to do in the history of sports.
Yeah, that's...
To this day, I still don't think any athlete's ever gone through anything what I've gone through on a personal level, individual accomplishment ever in the history of sports.
What does he mean by that? Does he mean the media pressure, the eyeballs that were on him?
Yes.
Pressure.
All of it.
I mean, the warm-up thing is pretty unique. Can you ever recall another guy where the warm-up and the pregame ritual was
bonds
such an important part of the experience?
Probably Bonds and him.
Oh, I'd say way more for McGuire than Bonds, though. People didn't like Bonds.
See, the thing is,
you would go to ballpark
People liked Sosa. People liked McGuire. Those were likable guys. Those were not villains in the sport. In fact, if Bonds were a bigger part of '98, I don't think it would be as great of a story as it was. I think it could have been a greater story if it were Griffey, but I think the two guys involved were very likable figures.
All you have to say to anybody who's making a statement like that, the ultimate conversation ender is Jackie Robinson. And then it just stops. You know? It's like calling someone Hitler because they're acting in a maniacal way.
Well, of course, but those are not sport. I mean, that's not related to sport. That's more of a societal thing.
Right, course, but it's like...
Of course.
Jackie Robinson, it's like all eyes on you, everybody watching your every move, everyone trying to... And it's like, specifically, no. Nobody went through what you went through. Of course. Nobody went through what a lot of people go through. It's, you know, it's very specific to you. Was it unprecedented at the time? Yes. But plenty of players have gone through plenty of stuff with plenty of eyeballs on them, watching their every move for a good chunk of the season. It's not unique.
If you thought that was self-aggrandizing, wait till you hear this comment. Until you hear this. And the question was about whether or not Mark McGuire belongs in the Hall of Fame. And let's just say that we learned pretty quickly that Mark McGuire.
I'm going to say
loves
he, yes.
Mark McGuire.
Yeah, there it is.
Are my numbers Hall of Fame worthy? Absolutely. Absolutely. 12-time All-Star. You know, I still the lowest at-bat per ratio for home run, 10. Every 10 at-bat, you know, I was going to hit a home run. You know, I hold an all-time rookie record at 49-87. 583 home runs. You know, the fewest 583 home runs with the fewest at-bats and the fewest games in the history of the game. Gold Glove. I mean, it's and the fact that to bring the game back from the strike of 94, that says a lot. When I still walk around, you know, the city today, and when people notice me and they say that you're the reason why I got back to baseball, you know, I mean, that says a lot.
The ghost of Abner Doubleday has visited me in my dreams and thanked me for saving the sport that he invented. Thank you. Thank you. I mean,
Sounds like Beatle talking about Hardy.
We credit the home run chase for having a lot to do with it, but if you're part of it, don't you take a little bit off yourself?
It's going to be one hell of a show Sunday night.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm ready for.
The little drops here and there in these little interviews are so much better than the Bruce Lee one that was out that they were pumping. That was a massive disappointment. Like, this has got something Sunday night.
What was a massive disappointment?
He was excited by the little trailer.
Oh, by Bruce Lee. I'm sorry. Yeah. Jim had mentioned something, so I didn't hear what you were referring to.
I said we go from Jordan to the Bruce Lee thing to this.
Is going to be good.
Yeah, like, you live this.
This is going to be great. Especially if McGuire does this for the entire time.
Yeah, which it sounds like that's him. That's what he does, and that's what he's going to do. Yeah.
So it's 2 hours with commercials, correct, is the running time? I saw that it's 104 minutes is what it is without commercials, the documentary. So you'll get some brief breaks in there. But it runs 8 o'clock Sunday night, 8 to 10, correct? Do I have the right time? Or is it 9 to 11?
9 to 11 is
the
other
9 usually, yeah.
Okay, 9 to 11. Very good.
What we need is a show tweet. And you can you schedule a show tweet right now, Jim? So that it kind of reminds us and everybody else, because this is not just required viewing for the show, but if you plan on listening on Monday.
We're going to be talking about this Monday for sure.
So let's you know, schedule a tweet right now for 8:55 p.m. Sunday night. Hey, get ready, because you know this is our homework for the week.
Hardy, I think it's a notebook viewing. You know, you get that. I'm going to get the pen and paper out. Mark down
notebook
the things that
movie.
I want to get to.
Notebook
I do it on
movie.
A legal pad.
I know. Okay. If you want to chime in on that, feel free. among the other things we've talked about today, 617-779-0985. Also, the baseball card story of the decade, if not ever, is happening right now that was reported on this week. A find in an attic that is just remarkable. And it's a great story. We'll tell you about it coming up.
Was the gum with it? Was the gum with it? I hope.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This hour, Zolak and Bertrand brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Open with stay-in-your-car drive-through oil changes to make sure your car is running at its best for when you need to be on the road. Visit GetAnOilChange.com. Save up to 20% on your purchase.
You may have seen this story out there in the last couple of days. It's worth a mention because it's just great. A 97-year-old New Jersey man left behind a treasure trove of signed baseball cards. A 97-year-old former janitor from New Jersey who died in March left his relatives swinging for the fences, it says in the New York Post today, with a treasure trove of vintage baseball memorabilia that is expected to fetch millions at auction, according to reports. James Misioni, also known as Uncle Jimmy to everybody in his family, had amassed hundreds of collectibles, including a signed Babe Ruth card from 1933 that could go for over $100,000. Experts say it's the most remarkable private collection in the history of the hobby. Uncle Jimmy, as he was known, owned actually six cards owned by Babe Ruth, as well as signed by Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, among others. Yes, this all according to reports. The collection has been authenticated and graded by PSA. It's going to go as 2,000 separate lots. The first 650 lots go up for auction on Sunday as part of a four-week auction that will take place. Uncle Jimmy apparently was giving out baseball cards to his nieces and nephews in the family over the years. And his relatives say he never paid for autographs. He'd write lengthy letters along with return envelopes. And he would mostly target Yankees because that was his favorite team. And so over the years, his relatives would ask him, according to his nephew, Peter, "We really didn't know a good card from a not-so-good card, and nobody in the family was knowledgeable about baseball cards. And Uncle Jimmy would be handing out all these cards over the years, and they had no idea what they were getting or what they were worth." And Peter said that when the family asked him about the collection, his quote to them, I guess more than once, was, "You'll figure it out when I'm gone." And he left them millions of dollars in the attic in baseball cards.
Jesus.
And these things are mint for the years that they are coming from. They are remarkable. The colors on them are still vibrant. He had things that were packed away in boxes and never opened. I mean, this guy's collection is incredible. And I would say the only drawback of this is that the collection's not going to stay together.
Now, you said that, that earlier to like us privately. Like, yeah. Why does that bother you?
Because it's I don't know. It just feels like it all belongs together. That's why.
Not at this point.
No, I know. Financially, it's, you know, it probably makes a lot more sense to divvy it up. And that's what's going to create the most money. But it's, you know, it's one guy's work of the collecting to put the set, to put it all together, and now it gets all broken up. That's sort of sad.
I'm glad you said that. I feel the same way about my Pez dispenser collection, which is right now up in the attic.
Did you open it? Did you open the
You know what, so? A lot of them were open because a lot of them are, you know, were actually used as toys or in the actual dispensing of Pez candy when I was a child. And, you know, 70s, 80s, sure. Got some. But I have some other, you know, very rare ones that have been collected. And as a collection, I understand what you're saying, Beetle. It's like, wow, look at this. He not only has all the Looney Tunes characters, but he also has the full-size MTV Moon Man Pez dispenser that was given away at the Music Awards. He not only has this, but he also has that. And as a collection, you're right. It tells more of a story than breaking it into pieces and selling it off for, you know, this guy's getting millions. I would expect, hundreds of dollars for my collection. But, you know, and as much of a haul as that would be, it would pain me to break them up. So I haven't done it yet. I get it. I get it now.
Imagine that, though, not telling the family. Yeah, you'll just figure it out when I'm gone. Not even giving anybody that.
Do you think he knew?
Oh, he knew. He knew. This guy was the legit collector. He knew. He knew what he had on his hands.
But he was in his 90s. Was he going online to check prices and stuff?
I don't think you'd have to know what you had on your hands.
Okay.
And so, and that's why he was telling them, you'll find out when I'm gone. Like, I'm not even going to let you know. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. You'll know what I've been doing all these years.
All right.
And now they all of a sudden can't figure out what he had, and it's worth a boatload.
Yep.
You'll figure it out. Because I'm sure if he had told them before his death, they would have been like, all right, time to move the collection.
Is a Honus Wagner in there anywhere?
Also, word gets out. If the guy's grandson finds out and says, I'm going to tell my buddies about it, and then all of a sudden everyone knows that this house has all this valuable stuff in it.
Exactly. Let's go to your call, 617-779-0985. Joe and Hall.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Joe.
Beetle, I want to congratulate you. You were with frickin' Frack for a few years, and you did a great job to get where you are.
It's been like...
Zoe, don't leave the booth, but here's my point.
Almost 6 years.
It can't be just the city of Boston that's prejudiced. Did you hear me?
Yes.
I can't hear what you said.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The prejudice that's going on with these players and stuff, I don't believe that these professional players have only heard that mess in Boston.
Okay.
I just can't believe that it's just going on here, but it just seems the real good athletes are pushing it. That we're racist, and I'm not a racist, and I love all the athletes. They put on a great show for me. And you guys do the same thing. You put on a great show for me, too.
Hey. All right, Joe. No, I don't think anyone's saying that Boston is the only racist place. I haven't heard that said by anybody.
No, that's not the narrative. No, they're saying that there's several people that told you about their experience here where I'm sure this is happening.
I'm sure there are other ballparks. I'm sure there are other ballparks where Torrey Hunter has faced that.
I didn't want to get into it, but, you know, again, is it possible that players have either heard it more in Boston throughout the course of their careers, or if they've only heard it a couple of times in their career, was one of those places Boston? That's
plus,
all.
You've been made known. They've probably been made aware of it, right? And you say, hey, you're going to Boston. Be careful up there. I've heard this, that, and that. So maybe you're a little more on alert listening.
Maybe.
Trying to hear things.
You know, hey, Torrey Hunter, this probably wouldn't apply. He played a long time ago. I hear it once every 10 trips to Cincinnati. I hear it 9 out of 10 in Boston, you know, or 5 out of 10, or whatever it is. It was noticeable to enough people that they said, what the hell's with this place? You know, it seems above average. Brian's in Manchester. Brian, on olives, it says. What do you got on olives, Brian?
Let's do it.
Hey guys. Hey, I actually got an extra thought. But first thought, Zoe, when I went on my first date with my girlfriend, I was introduced to a dirty martini with a blue cheese stuffed olive. I never liked the olives. I love them ever since. Amazing. So thank you for bringing that up. They're fantastic.
Absolutely. Delicious.
Secondly, how excited are you guys to watch Major League Soccer? Because I'm not only excited for that, which I have never thought I'd say that, but I'm also excited to hear Bruce Arena call you guys again because, you know, I love listening to Brad Stevens talk to you guys and Bruce Cassidy, but, you know, listen to Bruce Arena, I have to say it, but I love listening to your conversation. Thanks for what you guys do. I love you guys. Thank you. And hard to keep the golf show going. I love it.
Thank you. Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
Very positive.
Is there a Hey, It's Hardy show tomorrow?
Yes. Followed by the Sports Hub Golf Club after show, or the Opry Sports Hub Golf Club at 9 a.m.
Nice.
A.K.A. Mimosas.
All right, then. Yep. Looking forward to that.
No, are you?
Yeah, very much so. I've got to make sure I listen this week.
Why don't you call in?
You need someone to call in?
Always.
Could do that. I got a real estate breakdown that I'd like to get to today, if you guys don't mind.
Sure.
Yeah.
Zion Williamson's parents went for a huge real estate upgrade when he was at Duke. Big, big upgrade. Beautiful home.
Nice homes down there.
Beautiful home that his parents were moved into. And good for them and good for him. We'll tell you about it coming up after headlines. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.